It's Lake of the Week Day in the sense that we are putting a spotlight on a lake. But usually, when we do Lake of the Week Day, it's a lake you maybe haven't heard of. Well, you've heard of this one. We're putting the spotlight on one of the gems, one of our season previews. We talk Red Lake next.
Fishing pool keys, tackle box in my hand. Gonna cast a few lines with my toes in the sand. Pulling in a big catch makes me feel like a man. But the wife, she just don't understand. I love walleye, perch, trout, and bass. And if you don't like fishing, you can kiss my four-stroke right in the back. Cause the fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
This is Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Red Lake is going to be very, very busy come Saturday. A lot of people will be fishing that lake for the opener, and why not? It is loaded with walleyes. Andy Thompson joins me. He is the acting supervisor out of the Bemidji Area Fisheries Office. And Andy?
This is just a great story, the rebirth of the Red Lake fishery. It's not a new story anymore. I think it was, 20 years ago this thing got rebuilt?
Yeah. It started, even before that, probably in 1997, even before I was working in this office.
For those who aren't familiar, new to town, or maybe listening online and are learning about Paul Bunyan Country, this incredible walleye fishery almost was bereft completely of walleyes and really needed to be rebuilt from the ground up.
Yeah, it was deemed collapsed, which kind of meant that there weren't enough adult walleyes left in the population to sustain themselves. Without some drastic measures, they wouldn't have come back.
So, and again, it's a long time ago, and I don't remember all the details, but basically they completely shut down walleye fishing. It took multi-jurisdictional cooperation, and still to this day does, and involved basically no walleye fishing for 5 to 10 years, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it was about, 6 years with no walleye fishing at all.
Okay. And then just a really, really aggressive stocking program. Red Lake Nation fisheries people working with the DNR. I think the federal government was involved as well.
That's right, yeah. It was definitely a cooperative venture between the Red Lake Nation, the DNR, the federal government. And we put it all together, and it worked out.
So it just goes to show that those two big bodies of water, Upper and Lower Red Lake, are walleye machines. And once we let nature take its course and got out of its way, it's amazing. It's now just cranking out walleyes like crazy.
Yeah, that's right. It didn't take much for natural reproduction to take over. We just needed some fish in there, and that's what it took. And I remember talking to Gary Barnard, the now retired area supervisor, when we had those young fish established, but they were still too young to spawn. We were speculating a little bit and wondering, will they actually spawn? And we concluded that they've got to. The lake is just too productive, and the habitat's too good. They have to, and sure enough, we were pleased to see that they did.
Went from, if I recall, the first, I mean, I might have even been one, two or one walleye was the limit, and it got a little more open. And now we're to the point now, Andy, going into this year, we're for the last number of years now, we are very comfortable with a four fish limit.
Yeah, that's right. We started fishing very cautiously and conservatively, both on the state side and the Red Lake Nation side, and just kind of gradually ramped the fishery up to see take we measured what we took and still do every year, and then tried to determine how that affected the population, and then gradually just taking a little bit bigger bite every year, it seems.
Okay. So this year, a new regulation in place, not as far as numbers of fish, but a slot limit. So what is that for this year?
Well, for walleye, it's the regulation is different from last spring, but unchanged from this past winter. So it's a 4-fish limit with a 1/17-inch size regulation. So you can have one fish larger. You don't have to have one fish larger than 17 inches, but you can.
Okay.
And then the rest of them have to be smaller than 17.
Okay. What is it about the Red Lake system that makes it so incredibly productive?
Well, it's a really simple fish community. That seems to help. And it's pretty productive water. You know, it's a big shallow lake. It warms up pretty quick, has really good populations of shiners and yellow perch, which is the primary forage. Doesn't have ciscos or tulipies like you normally associate with a bigger water in this part of the country. It does have lake whitefish and some unique species like goldeye, more riverine species, goldeye, freshwater drum, quillback. But really, it's the shiners and the perch that seem to drive the system.
It's a Lake of the Week on steroids. We've got the spotlight on Red Lake, one of the big gems of Paul Bunyan Country. Much more to go with Andy Thompson next. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle, celebrating our 30th anniversary and taking a look at one of the gems of Paul Bunyan Country, Red Lake. Andy Thompson, the Area Fisheries Supervisor, Acting Area Fisheries Supervisor out of the Bemidji office, joining me today. And Andy, when we're fishing for walleyes, we're always hearing about they're in the weeds or on structure. Well, Red Lake doesn't really have weeds, and it really doesn't have much structure either.
Yeah, not a whole lot of that. It's got some rocky areas here and there. The main piece of structure that people really key in on early in the season is the first main shoreline break, which can be quite a ways offshore, but that first big break where it drops from, 3 or 4 feet to 7 or 8 feet.
Okay. And again, it's just a tremendous fishery. It's been doing quite well. One of the problems that has occurred on Red, as has occurred on so many of our other really busy waters, we do have zebra mussels in there now.
Yes, unfortunately, they made their way to the lake. We're very disappointed to discover that. But with the volume of boat traffic that lake gets, I guess it was not a total surprise.
Mm-hmm.
We also had discovered prior to the zebra mussel, starry stonewort was established in a boat harbor. As far as we know, it was treated, and I don't know if it was eliminated, but it, as far as we know, it hasn't spread out of those. It was a couple different boat harbors, actually.
Okay. We really won't know until it plays itself out or advances, but any thoughts on what kind of impact the zebra mussels will have on Red?
Yeah, it's we've speculated about that a little bit. I think there's a chance that they won't disrupt the ecosystem as much as they have in some other lakes. Partly due to the level of productivity that lake has, as well as the kind of the substrates. There's vast areas of that lake bottom are nothing but hard clay, and there's not a lot of vegetation, not a lot of rocks, not a lot of good surfaces for those zebra mussels to attach to. They will attach to themselves and form their own colonies, I guess you could say. I'm hopeful that they're not going to be as disruptive in that system as they have been in some other systems.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about northerns. I know there's a new northern regulation as well.
Yeah, the northern pike regulation has kind of evolved since we started, reopened the lake to walleye fishing in 2006. We started also with a northern pike regulation that has since changed once, and now it's changed again for the second time, starting this season in 2020. And it is now going to be the same regulation that has been in place on Lake of the Woods for some time. It's a 30 to 40 inch protected size range with a 3-fish limit, but only one fish larger than 40 inches is allowed. And then the others would have to be smaller than 30.
So very different from most of our northern regulations now. It's not like the zone regulation at all.
Yeah, that's right. It's somewhat similar to the zone regulation that exists in the northeastern corner of the state, the Arrowhead region. Mm-hmm. And it's really geared towards both that zone regulation as well as the Lake of the Woods and the Upper Red Lake regulation. It's geared towards kind of like trophy populations or really high quality northern pike populations where fish can actually exceed 40 inches in size and commonly do. So it protects that size of 30 to 40 inches. That's when they get to that point, they've got a chance to get even bigger as long as they're protected. And they often do.
Yeah, I know that that's one of the things they've been, in addition to, of course, the great walleye fishing, one of the things they've been kind of pushing over there is the fact that you can get a trophy northern there.
Yep, that's right. It's they're not easy to catch. The northern pike tend to be have narrow windows when they're really biting well. So you really got timing is important, it seems like. But there's times in the winter and in right in the middle of the summer when it's as hot as it's going to get when the pike can turn on and fishing can get pretty good.
One of the byproducts all those years ago of the walleye collapse was Red Lake turning itself into maybe the most amazing crappie fishery anybody's ever seen as far as pure numbers and unbelievable sizes, and it was crazy for a long time. And they basically, the fishing businesses survived on that for a while. Obviously, with the walleyes back, that kind of has gone away, but I think there's still some pretty good crappie fishing at times in that lake, is there not?
Yeah, they've the crappies have kind of become a background species again, which they were for a long time. Prior to the collapse of the walleye population, and then they, along with a number of other species, really capitalized on that void of predators in the lake. Not only the crappies, but the pike did really well. The lake whitefish had an amazing run there for a while, and the crappies were maybe the most noteworthy. Certainly attracted the most interest, and it really was built on just a couple of really good year classes that occurred and survived in really strong numbers and grew really fast, and provided a lot of people a lot of fun up there for a while. Actually, now we continue to see crappies at background levels, but we have actually noticed a recent year class that seems to be a little bit stronger than the typical ones. Not quite what those other year classes were that really built that crappie fishery. But I think there's going to be a little bit of a noticeable crappie population here for the coming few years.
This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Bemidji Area Acting Supervisor Andy Thompson, my guest, as we put the spotlight on Red Lake. Not so much this past year, because it was kind of a lousy ice fishing year pretty much everywhere, but The last few years prior to that, the winter pressure on Red Lake has been astronomical, beyond the summer pressure. Has that caused any issues or not?
Well, it's difficult to manage that kind of pressure, and not only for us, but for the, you know, the resorts and the road, the people that plow the roads and things like that. But everybody seems to enjoy it. One of the things that I think that leads to that pressure is that we get pretty early ice up here compared to the rest of the state. You know, that mm-hmm. lake is shallow, it cools off quickly, and pretty far north, so we get some good cold weather early, and it freezes up early, and the fishing can be really good on that early ice, and that really drives a lot of the pressure. That's when we get probably at least half the pressure occurs in December most years.
Obviously, zebra mussels is something you're watching. Anything else going on in Red Lake that you guys are watching closely right now?
Well, I think really it comes down to harvest management for us. We measure the harvest all the time, and you know, we need to make sure we're not over harvesting that population. As we know, it's vulnerable. So really, we put a lot of time and effort into monitoring harvest and evaluating harvest and evaluating the population on an ongoing basis.
What is the mechanism, because you're working with, again, different agencies, what's the mechanism for putting rules and regulations each year in place?
Yeah, we have what we call an emergency rulemaking process, which is a little bit of a misnomer because it's not really an emergency usually for us, but it is a process that allows us to be flexible and change regulations every year. We're working on trying to get a different process set up, you know, specifically for what we would call intensive management waters. And I think we're probably actually already working with the legislature on setting up a process like that so that we can, you know, have that flexibility to make changes. But you know, we convene we have a what we call a citizens advisory committee of you know, a number of interests represented around the lake, business interests, angling interests, you know, whether they're interested in the economy part of it or the actual fishing part of it. We try to cover all those bases and meet with those people regularly to update them on our population monitoring and our harvest management, and you know, talk about, you know, objectives for harvesting the population, and you know, that really goes a long ways towards making recommendations, knowing that we've got the support of you know, a segment of the public.
Okay. We'll have you be a teacher. What's your letter grade for Red Lake right now?
Letter grade, it's hard not to give it an A, if not an A+. It just keeps plugging away. We've got a situation now with the walleye population that's been dominated by a strong year class, the 2011 year class, so which is now just turning 9 years old, and that year class has been dominant, and it's to the point where following year classes have been you know, either weak or just maybe average, and so we're now that we're seeing that year class start to age out, and actually last year we had some regulations designed to kind of take advantage of the tail end of that year class as well and harvest some of those fish. We've seen the spawning stock abundance decline to what we consider optimal levels instead of surplus levels where it was before. And so we think that that's going to allow the lake to really, you know, take care of itself better and maybe kick out the next strong year class. So if that happens, we'll definitely give it an A+.
Okay. And just to clarify, and it's been a while, but you haven't been stocking this lake recently, have you?
No, not at all. We really, those recovery level stockings that we did were done three times in 1999, 2001, and 2003. And we followed up that 2003 stocking with a couple of very small, by comparison, what we called more research level stockings, where we were trying to learn from those. And we did learn quite a bit more, because we had learned so much from those first three stockings. We just kind of wanted to keep building on that as much as possible. So really the last stocking was in 2005. So it's been 15 years, and we've seen a number of naturally reproduced year classes since then.
Great. Andy Thompson is the Aiken Area Fisheries Supervisor, doing our usual Red Lake preview as we get ready for fishing 2020. Andy, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
That is going to be one busy lake on Saturday, no question about it. A lot of lakes are going to be very busy as we have license sales way, way up for this fishing season. Tomorrow, as we head into the weekend, we'll have a couple more of our experts in to get you ready for the opener, including Toby Kovalevog of Leisure Outdoor Adventures. That's it for today. I'm Kev Jackson. Thanks for joining us.
Fish sale, Bob Barnyard, country.